Just reading from Romans 12, verses 1 to 8. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully.
Thank you, Rachel. Please feel free to grab a seat. Good morning. My name is Matt, and I have the incredible privilege of being part of this team and have been for the last 5 years. And what an incredible occasion it is today as we celebrate 70 years of God's faithfulness to this community. Looking back at the past decades, we have reflected on the lives that have been changed, on the hearts that have been healed, and the ever-present faithfulness of God. Today, as we honor this rich history, we have had a huge focus on the words that are on the wall and the words that are here and that we have heard throughout of 1 Samuel 2:30, "Those who honor me, I will honor." This has been a foundational text for this church, but also at the heart of what today is about. Honoring God. Honoring Him and all that He has built, all that He is building, and all that He will build. And speaking of building, a few years back, I was in New York with my wife, and I found myself, as we were walking along, I was looking up at these immense structures, these skyscrapers that had slowly been built, brick by brick by brick. Now, behind me is a time-lapse. That's not an accident. That is there for a purpose. And it's a time-lapse of one of these buildings, one of the tallest buildings in New York. They started from the ground and slowly built with careful planning and patient construction. Each brick was laid, each beam raised, and as all of this came together, with the help of many, the structure began to take shape. Now, the workers knew that this project might take years. Actually, when you look at from when it began to when it finished was 20 years. So we far outlast that. But they knew that each brick mattered. This is so much like the story of this church. 70 years ago, a foundation was laid by a small group of believers, as Johnny said earlier, but who were uncertain of what the future would hold, but filled with faith that God would build something lasting. And over the years, we've had many members play a part, whether it be that they prayed, served, gave, or taught. They each placed another brick in this spiritual building. Now, after 70 years, we look around and we see this magnificent structure. I'm not talking about this building. I'm talking about the people that gather here, the people that gather throughout the week, the prayers that have been answered. This church, this community, stands as a testament to God's glory. Each person who has prayed, each person who has laid a brick, each person who has asked God to lead and He has led, we stand as answer to. And for us here today, the lives that exist here in this community and the lives that will be part of this community in the years to come, perhaps when we are long and gone, We stand as a testimony to God's faithfulness. Like the workers who build a skyscraper, the members of this church knew that their work would be part of something greater than themselves. Now, the passage that Rachel just read to us this morning from Romans 12, it actually, surprise, you are part of a new series that we're starting. If you want to hear the rest of it, you're going to have to come back in weeks to come. You are more than welcome to join us. But this start of Romans 12, verse 1 to 8, reminds us that God is building us into something great. And it's something that we need one another for, that we are dependent on one another for. Much like bricks in a skyscraper, each of us has a unique role to play. Some bricks are the foundation, some are the walls that are formed, and others form the spire that we saw before above the clouds. But all essential to create something beautiful and lasting. And all of them reliant upon the master builder who brings them together. And so, as providence would have it, both passages from Romans 12 and 1 Samuel 2 culminate to reveal how we are called to live as God's people and how in doing so we bring honor to God. Now, just quickly, for those who are unfamiliar of the story leading up to this point in Romans, we've spent the last 2 years looking at Romans 1 to 11. But essentially, Paul, the author, he spends those foundational chapters unfolding the heart of the gospel, tying together this beautiful symphony, the good news of God's love, the righteousness and justice and grace that is revealed in Jesus Christ. Paul addresses the fundamental problem that we as humanity face, that we've turned away from God's will, from his intentions, his design, and his purposes. Romans 3, Paul makes it really clear. He says, all have sinned, all have fallen short, all have missed the mark of God's glory. Yet, in his mercy, God provides a way for us to be justified, to be brought back into relationship with him. This isn't something that we achieve through our own efforts. Rather, it requires something that challenges our self-reliance. Challenges where we want to take control and bring together our own salvation. It means turning away from our ways and placing our trust and our hope in God. Paul then traces the unfolding story of salvation, showing us that just as Abraham before was made right with God through faith, we now are made right with God through faith. In chapters 6 and 8, Paul delves into the remarkable freedom we now have in Christ. Freedom from sin, freedom from death. We have life in the Spirit. We have a hope today and of future glory. Finally, in Romans 9:11, he reminds us that God's plan of salvation isn't just for a few, but it is for Jews and Gentiles. It is for you and for me and for everyone in this community. It is an invitation to all. And so, in light of all this mercy and grace and love, Paul now moves from what God has done for us to how we are called to respond to what God has done. And he begins this passage by urging believers to offer their bodies as living sacrifices. Now, just quick pause, because sacrifices, it may be language you're not familiar with, or you are familiar with it, and it gives you the heebie-jeebies, makes you squeamish, makes you think of blood and dead people. That's not what we're talking about. Well, kind of. It's not a practice that we really understand today. But before you turn off, let me just explain. So unlike animal sacrifices back in ancient civilizations, the purpose of Old Testament sacrifices, they weren't to appease God, but to point Israel to God, to point the surrounding nations to God, to say that he is the one that they worship, and so should everyone else. And so Paul draws on that and says to us, followers of Jesus, to offer ourselves, our lives, our gifts, our hearts to God as an act of worship, to point ourselves, to point one another, to point our community to God. You see, there is intentionality and design in this building that God has built and continues to build. And he is at the center of it all. In verse 2, Paul exhorts us to not conform to the patterns of this world, but being transformed by the renewing of our minds. For 70 years, this church has not just been a building, but a place of formation and transformation in this community, bringing hope and the good news of Jesus Christ. A community that is grounded in God's word, as Judy prayed earlier, that is our foundation, that the scripture has been what we have been grown out of and will continue to be as we're led by God's living word and led by the Holy Spirit in prayer. We're seeking renewal for not just this generation, but for every generation. Brick by brick, life by life, as we seek to honor God and be renewed in his spirit. In verses 3 to 8, Paul highlights the different gifts given to members of the body of Christ. Every person here has a unique role to play in this spiritual building. God uses every gift, every talent, brick by brick, life by life, to honor him and to serve and to build his church. For 70 years, the many members of this congregation have served in various capacities, whether it be teaching or hospitality, administration or evangelism, or whether you were one of the 50 plus people who were here this morning at the early hours setting up. All of us united in our commitment to teaching God's word, to serving the surrounding community, and to raising generations of faithful believers. This diversity of gifts and unity in purpose has allowed this church to flourish and to be a pillar in the community. In this, we find a powerful and beautiful connection to 1 Samuel 2:30, where God again says, "Those who honor me, I will honor." Each sacrificial act of service, seen and unseen, is an act of honor to God. And God promises to honor those who honor him. This anniversary, this is a testimony that God has indeed honored this church, blessing it with longevity, with impact, and a legacy of faith. So as we reflect on 70 years of God's faithfulness, we stand in awe of the magnificent structure he has built. We look up and we look out and we see this family of faith. But the work is not finished. Just like the skyscrapers that rise steadily over time, the building of God's church is an ongoing process. We are a chapter of his story. Each of us has a brick to lay, a part to play. And so as we move into the future, whether you have been here for 70 years or have just arrived today, I want to encourage us to continue to build brick by brick, life by life, trusting that God, the master builder, will continue to shape something far greater than we could ever imagine. As we celebrate today, let us also recommit ourselves to the calling of Romans 12 and of 1 Samuel 2, to a life of sacrificial service that honors God and loves this community. Whatever your gift may be, and trust me, each and every one of you has a gift. It matters. And as we honor him, God will surely honor us and this church, using us to build something far greater than we can ever imagine for generations to come. Would you join me in prayer now? Heavenly Father, gracious God, you are good, you are faithful, and your love endures forever. We thank you for 70 years of your faithfulness. We thank you for the lives that have been transformed and for the love shared through this church. We ask now that you would reinvigorate us and that you would continue to bless us as we seek to honor you in all that we do. Brick by brick, life by life, help us to live as living sacrifices, using our gifts to honor you and for your glory, we pray. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.